Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. I did not get myself situated before we went live. I wasn't expecting to go at the same time every day since January 5th. Why would today be any different? I don't know. Sometimes it just creeps up on me. I was too busy social media-ing. Is that a word? I think I just made that up. Well, welcome, and thank you for spending some time with me. I'm always excited to have you here. And if at any time during this time, if you're listening live and you'd like to join the conversation, I invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And I guess you can text that number too. I haven't tried it yet, but I've been told that that's a text number as well as a call-in number. So if you have any questions, want to chit-chat, Just want to say hello, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I know if you've listened before, you've heard me tease, if this is your first time, then you've not heard me say that the three things that I told the Lord I would never do after I felt the call to radio and podcasting. I said, God, I love to talk about you. I'm so excited to have this opportunity. But there's three things, God, I will not do ever. That's, I will never go live, I will never interview people, and I will never take callers. Never say no to God. just FYI, not in your best interest. And I'm so glad that he knows my heart better than I do, and that he doesn't let me off the hook with the things I don't think I'm going to enjoy, because I love all three of those. I love that you and I are live together this morning, or if you're listening on the podcast, that I do love that you're there too, but to get the energy of our live feed, which is just different than sitting with a microphone by yourself. I'd love to get to interview people. Tomorrow, I will be interviewing Stephanie Engelman, who I'm pretty hoping. Yeah, that's some good English. Maybe I don't like live anymore. Stephanie Engelman, who is the author of today's book that I will be talking about, called A Single Bead. This is a Pauline teen. It's how they categorize the book. I would call it a YA, or young adult book. Well, ages 12 and up. I love those kind of books. Sarah and Reinhardt and I were just talking how much we love those types of books, because they're good. They're good books. There's great content. You can really get into it. It's a great read. Sometimes it's a quick read, but you don't have to worry about uncomfortable situations popping up in your reading. And I'm very happy not to have a shade of anything in my reading. Thank you very much. So I was just talking about interviewing, and I love that I get to do that and talk with people. I loved talking to Sister Marie Paul Curley last week. I had her on to talk about Soul of Christ, her wonderful reflection book on the timeless prayer, the Anime Christe. I loved getting to know Aaron Franco yesterday. That podcast is up over on Reconcile. You.com. Just click on the show page, the radio show page, and you'll have all the notes there and the links to that. It's just, and I love talking to Sarah on Monday. So go figure, God knew more than me. Yeah, I know. Just like the show starts at 10 o'clock every morning, I should know that God knows what's good for me, because, oh gosh, He created me. He corrects me too. He created me. Oh, what a week. So this week has been so filled with blessings. Let's see. On Tuesday, I gave a talk out in Western Massachusetts. I have started giving talks on the spiritual works of mercy. This is added to my seeking retreats. So I have seeking joy, seeking trust, seeking forgiveness. And for this special year, I added seeking mercy. And it's all about how we live out the spiritual works of mercy in our everyday life. And I was so proud of myself. So Tuesday mornings, you know now that we run encores here or pre-recorded shows, because the Lord asked me, actually, let's take that back. The Lord I asked the Lord for something. And then I brought his grandmother into it. So we were really struggling with finances back in November. And I was praying so hard for help. And I turned to St. Anne and I was begging for her intercession and her help to just, you know, nudge her grandson to help me out a little bit. And a priest friend of ours had taught us about his mother had taught him to pray to St. Anne. And in that she said, you know, when you receive the answer to your prayer, then you need to thank St. Anne by, you know, offering her something. And I mean, it makes sense, and I get it. Like that part didn't bother me too much. What bothered me was kind of having this mistrust that the answer would be what was best for us, whatever the answer was going to be to my prayer. And the fact that I was going to wait to offer my thanksgiving for her intercession, that part bothered me. So in the end, before the prayer was even answered, before the 9 days of the novena is a prayer that you say, a specific prayer, not a specific prayer. It is a prayer, and there's different kinds of prayers you can say. This one was a prayer to St. Anne that I found on the internet by Googling prayers to St. Anne or novenas to St. Anne. And it was so before the 9 days was over and I received my quote unquote answer to that prayer, I decided that I was just going to pray and ask, you know, what the Lord wanted for me, what St. Anne would want me to do in thanksgiving for her help. And I felt very strongly that I was being called to bring communion to the elderly. And I thought, yeah, that's not going to work. Let's try something else. Because that meant making sure I was at 8 o'clock mass on Tuesdays. It meant, you know, taking the show off live on Tuesdays. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to work. But I just couldn't shake that's what I was being called to do. And you know what? Sometimes I'm so grateful that the Lord doesn't let me get away with being disobedient, because what an incredible blessing this has become in my life. Just incredible. So Tuesday, I went to Mass to prepare. I have to, you know, go there, obviously, to get Jesus, to get the hosts. But I participate in Mass first, because that also makes sense to me to get that extra day of grace in when I can. So long story longer. Well, it's been a while since I've been able to chit-chat for my first segment. Usually I have a guest here or I'm diving into something. So I just want to chit-chat, catch up. I love chatting. Again, if you want to chat, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. If you bring communion to the elderly, to the homebound, to the sick, I'd love to hear your experiences with that ministry. It's so amazing. So anyway, I was in Mass that morning and I'm preparing and praying for that talk that evening on the spiritual works of mercy. I had already given it once before, but it was the very first time I gave it. And I prepared, but I don't know, I just didn't have confidence in it. And I didn't memorize the spiritual works of mercy. I thought I'd just have a note card with them on it. Well, this was back in November, actually. November was just a tough month for me all around. They didn't have a podium. My cards were like a mile away from me, and it was just a mess. So I said, oh, I don't know what the setup is going to be like. And I'm the kind of person, when I present, I just want to talk. I don't want to be encumbered by notes or a podium. I just want to chat with you. So I decided during Mass that I would memorize the spiritual works of mercy. And I did. I was so proud of my little bad self. And I spent the rest of the day, every time I got an opportunity to go through them. So what I did was, in case you want to know what these are, because I think they are very crucial to our life as a Christian, as our life as a person, as a good person, because what they call for us to be in these seven works is a merciful person. And if you are showing mercy, then you understand that you are receiving mercy from God, and then you're being God, you know, you're being a conduit of God in the world, and that can never be a bad thing, ever. So this is what I did. I took the very first word of each one and I memorized it. So we are called to instruct, admonish, counsel, forgive, bear, pray, and Allison, what's the other one? Oh, come on, you know them. Pray. So let me try again. I went out of order. So instruct the ignorant. So you're called to instruct. You're called to counsel the doubtful. So counsel. You admonish sinners. Admonish. Then forgive wrongdoings. I remembered it now. Okay, I got it. So forgive wrongdoings. Forgive offenses. Bear wrongdoings. console the sorrowful. That's the one I forgot. So we're called to console people and to pray for the living and the dead. See, I remembered them. No, they're not in front of me. Obviously, I would have done that way smoother. So I love these. And it was such a blessing to be able to take this new memorized knowledge and just talk about it with this group of wonderful people at St. Mary's and Westfield. And my friend Karen Tost, she's just such a doll. And she surprised me by offering to drive me. So it was like a sequel to Driving Miss Daisy, because they call me Miss Allison. It was Driving Miss Allison. And her and I had a ball. We laughed so much. The funny thing is that Karen has known me for many, many years. And the last thing she wants to do is listen to me talk. I know, we drove in the car talking, but that's different. But the last thing she wants to do is sit in the audience. But she, the Holy Spirit just made her, made her sit there and really talk to her through me. And one of the things that we were talking about on the way home was the forgive others and to bear with one another, wrongdoings, and just to bear with one another, and how difficult that can be. I always talk about Thomas A. Kempis and the Imitation of Christ. One of my favorite lines in there is, he says, remember, when you're putting up with somebody, somebody else is putting up with you, or someone's bearing with you. And we're talking about this, and she says, that's just the hardest part, is learning forgiveness and trying to forgive. And as we're talking about this, like, the words are coming out of her mouth. We look over on the side of the road, and I'm not even kidding you, huge, huge billboard with Matthew's gospel on it that says, forgive others as you have been forgiven. We just rolled. That was hysterical. God is so funny, and he's definitely listening and paying attention, and he doesn't miss a single thing we do. It's amazing. Well, because he is God and we're not. When we come back from these messages, I'm going to dive into this amazing book, A Single Bead, I got to read on Super Bowl Sunday and share it with you. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening. I thank you so much for joining me here at A Seeking Heart, and for just sharing your journey with me. Love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can always send me a message over at allison@breadboxmedia.com. We're going to talk today about A Single Bead from Stephanie Engelman. I think I should have asked her before I had to say it. It's Engelman. So I'm going to go with Engelman, not Engelman, because it's not an A. I'm going to go with Engel, like English. We're going to go with that, see how that works. We'll find out tomorrow, because Stephanie is going to be here. She has quite a story to tell before this book launched. Her family had, I would say, a tragedy. Luckily, I wouldn't say it's working. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say anymore. If you want to know more about it, I'm going to just send you over to her website, afewbeadsshort.com, afewbeadsshort.com. She's been blogging all about her husband, Ray, and his heart attack and the things that have come from that. And she will be here tomorrow to discuss it and the book as well. But I also asked her if she would feel comfortable or she'd want to talk about what her family's been through since Ray's heart attack. And she said that yes. She said, I can't imagine not making that part of our conversation, because it's been such a huge part of my life. And as I read her book, as I read the words, knowing what she's been through and reading her blog and following along social media, it just was amazing to me. Just totally amazing how the words that she had put in this fiction book for this fictional character, the Lord had given her and taught her before she had, you know, to live it in such a profound way. And she shared that with me as well, because I was reading and I had to put the book down and send her an email and be like, I'm in awe. I'm blown away by what is happening here. Like, your words are so profound in and of themselves, but given what she's going through. And she shared that she really felt that the Lord had lovingly prepared her for what they're going through the writing of her book. It was quite remarkable. So again, you don't want to miss tomorrow's interview. Stephanie Engelman, Single Bead. This is from Pauline Books and Media. I'm going to dive into the book in just a moment, but the interview is, I'm just in awe that she said yes and that she's going to come, and really looking forward to what she has to say. I'm sure you will as well. This book is, before I go into the book, I just want a commercial interruption. Just a few things that are coming up I wanted to remind you, remind you of is Catholic Conference for Moms. It launches on February 20th with a live stream. Jennifer Fulweiler over at the Columbus, Ohio Women's Conference. And we're also at 3:00 Eastern Time. We'll be doing the Divine Mercy together. Then there is 20 or maybe more presentations that are part of this conference that you purchase the conference and you watch at your own leisure. You can watch on your own. You can watch with friends. You can watch with your parish. It starts on February 20th, goes through Easter. I'm so honored to be a part of it. I get to talk about the peace of forgiveness and reconciliation. You know how much I love my reconciliation. So I was just blessed to be a part of it. Tammy Kaiser is the one who put it together. She's known as Smart Martha. You maybe remember that she was on the show. I can put that in our show notes that you, if you haven't heard our conversation about this wonderful conference for moms, just kind of helping moms that it's hard to get out sometimes. It's hard to come together with other people, but you yet still need to be filled and you still need to have that retreat time. And that talk about the instruct the ignorant, sometimes we're the ignorant. Okay, I'm always the ignorant. But we also need to know our faith in order to share our faith, especially as a parent who's trying to share it with our children. We really need to take that time and put aside and learn and, you know, be fortified in our own faith. Because it's all, we're always, the second part, we're always doubtful. We're counsel the doubtful. Well, sometimes we have to counsel ourselves by getting ourselves in some information, some retreat time, conference, just really coming together. I love that it's going to be a live feed. I'm looking forward to watching that, the stream. And again, it's Catholic Conference for Moms. It's February 20th. You can go to reconciletoyou.com. It's right on the front page of my website. And if you use the coupon code RECONCILED, you get $4 off the already low $14.99 price. So $4 off, RECONCILED, and there's a swag bag of electronic goodies that you can get. It's a great thing. It's Friday, this Saturday, February 13th, I'm going to be at the Annunciation of the Lord Church in Taunton doing the Seeking a Hope of Trust retreat. You can also get that at reconciletoyou.com. And some other good stuff, make sure you go to reconciletoyou.com, click on events. I'm going to be at the Diocese of Providence, also on February 21st. There's going to be an online course you can take, a catechesis course that I helped develop. You go to discovercatholicfaith.org for that and information about the Rhode Island Convocation, which I've also been very blessed to be invited to speak at. Lots of fun stuff coming up. I really need to get and update my website, though. On the commercial, I tried to update my website because I saw that something is misspelt, and that makes me incredibly, just gives me the it just gives me a twitch when I see I've misspelt something, and it won't let me on. So hopefully I'll be able to update and give you all this information. But you can always send me an email at allison@breadboxmedia.com if you want any more any additional information about the Catholic Conference for Mom, Seeking the Hope and Trusting in God, Arise Good Things Radio Conference, going to be at that, and it's not a conference, it's a retreat, and the Diocese of Providence, discovercatholicfaith.org for all that good stuff, the online course and the convocation. Okay, without further ado, we're going to move on to this wonderful young adult fiction, Pauline Teen, from Pauline Books and Media. It's called A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman. And again, you can go to her website, which is afewbeadsshort.com, for more information. I picked up this, I was sent this book electronically And I curled up on the couch on Super Bowl Sunday. The thing about your team not being in the bowl game is that you just have to pay attention when the commercials are on. You can just half listen while the game is playing and you can pay attention for the commercials. I watch it backwards. I was going to talk about some of my favorite commercials, but I think that I've just been away from the topic of the day long enough. But I got to say that definitely my favorite was the avocado one. The aliens with the, and that would be Scott Baio. Just cracked me up. And I also liked the singing sheep because I loved music from Queen, and that was pretty funny. And then, of course, there was all that Doritos ad controversy. How silly. But if you want to talk about those, by all means, give me a call, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Just send me a message over to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. We can talk about it over there on the page as well. So I curled up with this book, and I just got engrossed in it. Just sucked me right in. Very well written. The characters are all very believable. I feel like you have encountered these people either in your neighborhood, in your family, growing up at school. Like, you know these people. A lot of the things that were said about the misconceptions of being Catholic and why people fall away from being Catholic and the struggles people have with prayer, especially the rosary, all of those things, you know, is great catechesis without being in your face catechesis. And that's my favorite kind of teachings. When you're being taught about the faith, which is another word for catechesis, when you're being taught about the faith, but it's not being shoved down your throat, when people aren't using big words, when they're just talking from their heart and sharing their experience with the faith. That, to me, is the best way to learn. Of course, there's a time, you know, to learn what things are, but there's a time for everything. Like, the Lord reveals himself in small bits and pieces. Like, he doesn't give us the whole picture right away. God reveals himself. He's done that all through salvation history, all through our history as people, of people of God. He reveals himself slowly. You know, it's just, it's an unfolding because he's a mystery, because we'll never completely understand him, but he doesn't just throw everything at us. So it is good that we learn that way too, that we take our time and we learn a little bit at a time for what, at the point where we're ready. And the basic premise of this book, as we wind down on this segment again, the basic premise is that the teen, Kate, she has lost her grandmother in a plane crash, and her mom is not taking it well at all. Her mom's really struggling with her grandmother's death, or her mother's death. And they've gone to a memorial service where the plane crash that took her grandmother's life is being held. She kind of gets a little overwhelmed because it's an emotional thing, and she kind of wanders towards the edge of the woods to kind of get a breather, and there she finds a bead. Her grandmother had a very special rosary that was silver, and each bead was engraved with the initials of someone that she loved. And she didn't find just any bead, she found her bead. And the story unfolds as she discovers that other people have found these beads, and she goes on searching for beads to help people in her family. And she finds that the ones who have found them, something mystical and beautiful and miraculous has happened with each one of them. And it starts to make her wonder, is it, you know, do these beads have special powers? And of course, she learns that they're sacramentals, which means they are these things that help us remind us of how good God is and the good things that God do. But we don't believe in lucky charms. They're not rabbit's feet or any of those things. They are just reminders of the good things that God does and things that we can hold on to, sometimes literally, to help us remember and reach out to God. We can talk a lot more about that, and hopefully a lot clearer. And we come back from these messages and I get back onto my notes instead of out of my head. We are talking today about A Single Bee, this wonderful book from Pauline Books and Media by Stephanie Engelman. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I am talking today about a wonderful new book out from Pauline Books and Media, their Pauline Teen category. I call it a young adult YA book. It is called A Single Bead, and it is written by Stephanie Engelman. And Stephanie will be here tomorrow, 10 a.m. live. If you'd like to call in and chat with her, take down this number, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And if you'd like to know more about her, I invite you to her website, A Few Beads Short, afewbeadsshort.com. And there you can look at her blog and see what her family has been through in the last few months. She's just an inspiration, and I'm in awe of her and the reading the book and seeing the insights and the just her heart for the Lord. Because, you know, it's a fiction book, but you know when you're reading somebody's work that whether they believe or don't believe what they're telling you, and the characters that they create, I feel, and this is my very limited knowledge of fiction writers, but to the ones that I have read and the ones that I've met, it just seems to me that there's always a piece of them in their characters, at least one of their characters, there's a piece of them in there. And the advice that is given in this book and the catechesis, again, the teachings of the church and the faith, just done with such a heart, such a beautiful heart for the Lord, that and then reading Stephanie's story and her blog, I can see that she really, really is a very special person. And I'm excited that we're going to get to spend some time with her tomorrow here on A Seeking Heart, 10 a.m. Eastern time. So again, the story is, there's a young girl, she's lost her grandmother, they're at the crash site, she lost her grandmother in a plane crash. She finds a silver bead, it has her initials on it. Through different circumstances, she starts to find out that there are several of these beads circulating out there, and that the people who have them have had some miraculous, amazing things happening to them. And she sets out to try to collect as many as she can, and she's really trying to help her family to heal from this devastating loss, especially someone specifically in her family. And kind of as a side, I really thought it was interesting that one of her best friends is her cousin. My family is I have my sister who's younger than I am, and then we have a cousin who's even younger than my sister. I think she's about 10 years younger than I am. But the three of us have this incredibly close bond. Like, we're like sister cousins, and we talk every day. You know, we don't talk on the phone, but we have like an instant message kind of rolling now out for, gosh, I think I want to say like 6 years. And every day throughout the day, we just send each other emojis to make ourselves laugh, or, you know, pep us up. It's where we vent. It's everything. And just seeing that relationship, and then seeing her with her cousin having that same type of relationship, is kind of neat. Just to, again, that the realism of the character and being able to connect with the book. I know, like I said, it's for young adults or 12 and up, but honestly, especially if you're a very busy person, some of the young adult stuff out there is just phenomenal. I'm going to be doing I Am Margaret in March. And I think that you'll find that these stories are things that they're generational. I also love things that are generational, because I can read it and then my child can read it and we can have a discussion together. There's something about that connection of good book. You know, my kids were homeschooled, and one of the is when we did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We actually read the book by Roald Dahl instead of watching the movie. And we sat cuddled on the couch and read the book out loud and just shared that moment together. There's something very special about that. So you can read a book and get some conversation, especially here where we are talking about the faith in a way that's very, it's non-threatening, especially, you know, if you have a teenager who's giving you a hard time about their faith, like I am. I'm not sure I could get my son to read this. He's 17, but I'm certainly going to suggest it because he's still homeschooled. I know I could just put it on his list, but I try not to force them into stuff. But something like this, that once you, really after they read the first two, three paragraphs, if that, they're going to be sucked right in. I know I was. It's a indication of a great book when you start reading and the next thing you know, you're done. So there's some things that Kate struggled with that I could really, really relate to, especially when it came to praying the rosary. And she talks about some of the obstacles with different people throughout here. Like, you know, the person in the book who is the most devout to praying the rosary is her grandmother. So that was one of the first things I thought of myself when I was learning about the rosary. I thought, oh, that's just for old people. You know, when I get old and I'm looking for something to do because I'm bored, I can pray the rosary. Yeah, that's not true. That's myth number one debunked. That it's too long. Like, it's long, it's complicated. It's not long. It takes literally 17 minutes. It can take you longer, but just reciting it takes about 17 to 20 minutes tops. That's not long. I mean, think about, we watch TV for half an hour and don't bat an eyelash. Have you ever opened up a game on your phone or your tablet or your computer, and the next thing you know, 2 hours are gone by? Yeah, spending 17 to 20 minutes praying is definitely not a long time, nor is it taxing on our day. That it's boring and tedious, so we're just going to be repeating things over and over again. Again, that's not true. And she shows that in some a beautiful way in the book with a scene where Kate is praying it and she just has this mystical experience in her prayer. And you can say, well, it's fiction, Allison. Yes, of course she has a mystical experience. It's fiction. But I can tell you from my experience with the rosary, my own praying of it, that I've had some incredibly mystical experiences. And one of the things I think that is the most powerful about the rosary is it just transports you. The reason that we use these repetitive prayers is that they occupy a part of our brain and they bring us into this meditative state where we're praying that we can, the other part of our brain is then free to contemplate things and to experience things. And so I like to pray it out loud if I can. I love praying it with a group, but I also like, you know, I've been walking around my yard. I take not right now because there's snow everywhere, but when there's no snow, I just take my beads. I head outside. There's no phone to bug me. There's no computer to draw me in. There's no laundry to make me feel guilty it's not being done. And I just head out with it. I don't pray that out loud. I just pray that to myself. But it's amazing the brain that the Lord has given us, that we can be praying one thing and repeating these prayers, and then in the other half of our brain, we could be having these amazing conversations with God and visions and it's beautiful. And I never would have believed it. You know, people, I mean, maybe you could compare it if you're somebody who's done yoga and you have that mantra that you say over and over again, and it brings you to like this different state of being where you're relaxed and your new consciousness is opened. Well, how much more is that going to happen when you're praying about the life of Christ and you're, you know, you have the intercession of his mother with you and your guardian angel. My grandmother used to tell me to pray the rosary before I went to bed, you know, help me relax. And I used to have tons of anxiety when I was a kid. Well, it hasn't changed much, but it was really worse when I was a kid and I had no coping mechanisms. My grandmother would say, pray the rosary. So I would pray it and next morning be like, Grandma, I fell asleep before I finished it. And I used to think it's because I was bored. I'm so bored, I fell asleep. But now I realize it wasn't that I was bored. It was that I was finally relaxed and comforted and had peace. And what was, you know, my head was cleared and I had peace. And that's why I would fall asleep. But she used to say that your guardian angel finishes it for you. So I always picture my guardian angel praying along with me, helping me to contemplate and know what the Lord wants for me in that moment, what he's trying to teach me or guide me through. So if you're somebody who has a hard time getting into prayer and to getting into deeper prayer, then ironically, the rosary may be the prayer for you. Because once you memorize the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, and the Glory Bees, you don't even have to memorize the the mysteries. If you start by just doing the prayers, the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys, and you know, just getting to yourself with that new consciousness where you put yourself there with God and allow Him to guide your thoughts, then that might be enough for you. And if you can only do one decade, which means you do one Our Father and 10 Hail Marys, then that's okay too. I think one of the things we have to get out of our brains is that there's a right and wrong way to pray and that we're failing at praying. I keep seeing posts all over the place. I'm failing at Lent already. I'm like, okay, well, one, it just started yesterday. And two, and most of these posts actually get to that at the end. The point is you can't fail at Lent. You can't fail at praying. Like Erin Franco said yesterday on the show from humblehandmaid.com, she said just, and she was using Thomas Merton's words, that just trying to please God does indeed please Him. You know, like, yeah, we're going to fail sometimes or fail in our own minds, but we're certainly not going to fail in God's heart. He's so happy when we give Him attention and we give Him, you know, our time and our mind, because that's when we're glorifying Him, because we believe that He has created us, or we're trying to believe that He's created us, and we're trying to create relationship. Stephanie talks about that in this book, A Single Bee, that one of the problems that one of the characters is having is a deep depression, a deep sorrow. And the thing that, you know, she suggests that she's missing is faith. Is not having something beyond her or bigger than her to believe in and to hope in. And the rosary is one of these things that gives us a tool to pray and to discover that there is something bigger and greater than us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman. You're listening to A Seeking Heart here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about all kinds of stuff. I've been all over the map. If Jennifer Lungworth was still producing my show, she would say, "You're awfully squirrely today, girl." It's because I'm so excited to have time to talk with you. I love having guests. I absolutely love it. But then I feel like we don't get to connect it and don't get to tell you everything that's going on. So sharing about Tuesday's wonderful presentation that I was able to give at St. Mary's in Westfield. I don't know. Well, I shouldn't. That sounds kind of arrogant, huh? Oh, it was so great. The Holy Spirit showed up. And truly, like the priest before I started talking, Father Frank gave me this incredible blessing. And I just knew the Holy Spirit was going to show up in a big way. And He did. And we just talked about the spiritual works of mercy, how we experience them and how we live them in every day of our life. They're not just what we do for others, it's what's done to us through us. You know, like instruct the ignorant. Well, sometimes I'm the ignorant. Okay, lots of times I'm the ignorant. Admonish the sinner. I'm always the sinner. There, you know, forgive others. Well, the hardest person to forgive is usually myself. So I'm excited to be giving this talk. I'm going to be doing it again at the Providence Diocese Convocation on March, I think it's 19th. I have the link up over on reconciledtoyou.com, which is now working again. Yay. So I can fix all that up. If you ever have any questions about where I'm going or what I've said, or you just need some advice or, you know, some resources, always available, always. You can send me a message at Allison@breadboxmedia.com. You can go to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook or wherever, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. Just look at Reconcile to You. I'm the only one out there. Allison Gingras, find me, ask me, I will help you. Because I know that I need that help. I need that support. And it's about community. One of the big things I wrote last week on my own blog, Reconcile to You, was this plea for people not to leave social media during Lent. I was blown away. It like went as viral as something was going to go viral for me, with like over 300 shares and likes. And it was crazy. I was finding it on Facebook groups that I belong to that I didn't even, like, I went on to see whatever people were up to, and there's, like, my blog post. Like, that's crazy. That's so cool. But I loved that this one got traction because this one was the Holy Spirit driven. Like, months ago, the Holy Spirit told me I was to write this. And it was just, you know, really encouraging people, stay connected during Lent. Okay, so cut back. You don't have to spend all day on Facebook, or just come on Sundays when we're not called to those fasts that we have for Lent. We get that reprieve day on Sundays. And so that's when you come on social media. So don't completely disconnect. I think being connected is very important at all times. So again, Allison at breadboxmedia.com. If you ever need a prayer or a resource or whatever, I'd love to hear from you. So we're talking about A Single Bead, and this book by Stephanie Engelman, out from Pauline Books and Media. It's under the heading of Pauline Teen. It's kind of good for, I think, over on CatholicMom.com, Barb wrote a review, and it said grades 5 and up, which I think is what I was thinking, 12, age 12 and up, 13 and up. Great read. And I say up, I mean all the way up. I thoroughly enjoyed this book, and I enjoyed it for my own benefit. It wasn't like I was thinking the whole time I'm reading it about reviewing it or talking about it on the show. The whole time I'm reading it, I'm thinking, this is teaching me something. This is growing me spiritually, and it's reminding me things. It's instructing me on things. I just totally loved it. And I also am kind of a big fangirl of the rosary, but I haven't always been. This is a totally new thing for me. I prayed it as a kid to fall asleep. I've always had them hanging on the bedpost of my bed since I was a little kid. It's just, I'm Portuguese. My family's from the Azores, but of course we have the Fatima connection, always about the rosary and it was always a gift I got from my godmother, but I didn't really embrace it as a prayer because no one ever said and told me, this is powerful stuff. This makes the devil cringe. So, you know, there are times in my life that I have just been too emotional or just spent to pray, and I just hold my rosary beads in my hand, and I can feel the grace. I can feel that power from God just surging through me and giving me the strength that I need. And then it's even more powerful, it's even more sustaining if you can actually pray it. But just to be able to hold them is something. In fact, right now I have a finger rosary that I stole. Isn't that nice? Not from a store. It was at a cemetery, and I went a couple times, and they were on all of these stones, and they were there week after week, and I thought, they're just going to rust, and so I'm going to take it home and pray with it. Yes, so I stole a rosary. This special place for people like me somewhere. But I am praying on it. And I'll pray for whoever left it there and for the soul of which it was, stone of which it was placed on. I really felt like it was there for the taking. Like, why would you do that, right? Why would you put them there if you didn't expect people to take and pray them? Yes, I don't think you can go to jail for it, though. But I am holding a stolen rosary. I can't believe I just admitted that. That's okay. I stole many of them. Okay, while I'm admitting that I'm a thief, I actually stole. I went back another time and there was a ton more. And so I took a few more and shared those with people that I knew could use a little extra prayer. And I asked the souls there, those priests, and they're making it worse. Yeah, making it worse. It was a cemetery just for priests. I'm special. I'm such a special human being. I know. Okay, we're going to move on because I'm going to end up being arrested here. Stealing rosaries. Anyway, so, you know, just sometimes to hold it, but when you get to pray it, it's even more powerful. And the priest I talk about my Saint Posse all the time, and the one that I love the most is Father Patrick Payton, who is actually known as the Rosary Priest. And his very famous saying is, the family that prays together stays together. Someone else that I don't always talk very much about, but who I'm very fascinated with is Saint Bartolo Longo. And he was a Satanist. He was a priest of Satan. And he converted, had a huge conversion, and he fell in love with Our Blessed Mother. But he was so worried that he would burn in hell because he learned that a priest is a priest forever. And he thought, if a priest of Christ is a priest forever, then a priest of Satan would be a priest of Satan forever. And he very much worried about his soul, his spirit, his soul. And he prayed to Our Lady, Our Blessed Mother, for help. And she came to him, and I don't really remember if it was a vision or if it was a loquation, which is just when you have a really deep thought of spiritual matters. Anyway, he got the message that in promoting the rosary, anytime you promote the rosary, Our Blessed Mother gives you a special blessing, and she promised him that she would be there to make a case for him when he died, and to protect him from going to hell because of his conversion and his heart for her and for the rosary. So I take that to heart all the time, and I think I'm going to promote the rosary whenever I can. I did rosary swag. If you go over to reconciledto.com, you'll see that my friend Lori and I make bracelets that you can pray the rosary on. And but it came more from just this, oh, I want to be protected. It came from an absolute love for the rosary. And we see that in this book, again, A Single Bead with Stephanie Engelman. We'll talk a lot more about the details of the book tomorrow. But it's always hard to talk about a fiction book without giving away the plot. And I want you to be, you know, interested and intrigued, but not, you know, spoiler alert, through the whole thing. But she talks about these barriers, like I said earlier, barriers. I'm from Boston. It's a barrier. These barriers to praying it, when we think it's just for old people, we think it's too long, we think it's boring and tedious, we think it's not heartfelt prayer, which is so far from the truth in all of those, especially it being heartfelt. I'm really not good at being consistent at it unless I'm doing a 54-day rosary novena, but I do try to pray it as much as I can, because I do feel, again, that peace, that strength, that grace that comes from praying it. Some of the other lessons that she put in here, I wish I had been smart enough to mark the pages, but I was reading on an electronic copy, a PDF file, and I was so engrossed, I forgot to write down on a piece of paper. Usually, like if I'm reading a Kindle, I just poke the bookmark and I can go back to it. But nope, I was too engrossed to remember that, oh yeah, I have to be able to talk about this. So some of the other themes that she talked about were, why do bad things happen to good people? This is Stephanie's story pretty much. Tomorrow she can really share with us her thoughts behind that. One of the struggles that somebody had in the story was, you know, that the grandmother prayed, yet her plane still crashed. So what's the point of praying? And how many people have we encountered in our life who no longer are faithful because, well, I prayed and my prayer didn't get answered, so therefore why bother? And I thought Stephanie had some beautiful insights through her characters, again, in the book A Single Bead, as to, you know, why that could be and why not to lose hope, and that God is still God even when our lives are in shambles or not going the way that we had hoped or we hope that they will. She talks about, you know, how faith helps us through difficult times, through depression, through family dynamics, in growing in our belief, this constant conversion of heart. Oh gosh, there's just so many good themes. And again, the characters are believable. The story is engrossing and engaging. And I think you'll love it. And I think you'll love more talking tomorrow with Stephanie Engelman. I can't wait for us to be with Stephanie here, 10 a.m. live, breadboxmedia.com if you want to listen live, or you can download the app. You can go to breadboxmedia.com and download the app for your iOS or Android device right from the website. Easy peasy. Look forward again to Stephanie Engelman, A Single Bead from Pauline Books and Media, joining me tomorrow morning. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.